In 1958, the sounds of a sweet ballad chanting "Oh Julie" pierced the airwaves of all top 40 radio stations across the country. The Crescendos were the group, and an amazing hit it was. On the phone right now with me is Jimmy Hall, one of the original members of the Crescendos. Good evening, Jimmy.
Good evening.
Thanks for joining me tonight. How did you get started? I mean, even before the Crescendos, were you singing?
Yes, we had some buddies that just got around and... We sang gospel music and went around to some churches, and I sang with several different small groups, and they were all older than me, and after they graduated from school, we got the group up with that ended up being the Crescendos, and had a pleasant surprise ahead of us, and we didn't know it.
Well, now, tell me about the beginnings, then, of the Crescendos. What high school did you go to, and how did you guys get together?
Well, we were going to Cumberland High School, that is in Nashville, Tennessee, and we all just kind of grew up knowing each other. We started out, I think that group was the Spades that some of us sang in, and then again with graduations and movements around, we started out with the four of us. Jimmy Lonish came in a little later, and we just started singing and had fun with it, and then started working on some songs that were popular at the time, and we got organized enough that they let us put on a little program there at school, and then we got to go to other schools and put on assembly programs there. So it just started out as a good fun thing to do.
Who comprised the Crescendos then at that point?
Well, that was George Lonish. He was the lead singer. Kenneth Brigham and Tommy Fortner and myself. Jimmy Lonish came in a little later. I went to the Air Force Reserve, and while I was there, he filled in for me. He just stayed on when I came back.
You got the group together. You're doing some performing around town, around the other high schools. There had to be a point in time where you realized that you were having fun, but you wanted to go another step with it. Where did that happen?
Well, I tell you, that was almost forced on us. We entered some talent contest, and we were lucky enough to win. And one of the wins, we got to go on a TV show locally with a disc jockey named Noel Ball. And we got to go on there, and it was kind of a dance program. And after that, he asked us if we were interested in maybe recording. And, of course, you know, sure. And so it just kind of dropped off for a while. And then he came up with a song, and he said, "Y'all want to try this?" So we said, "Sure, we'll try it." And we worked it out and worked it out and recorded it. And he took it to RCA and ran it through something new at the time, a reverberator machine, and that was supposed to make the sound quality better.
So now, getting back a little to the show that you were on, was that called Saturday Showcase on WSIX?
Yeah, that's it.
Was it just a show that spotlighted new artists?
Yeah, it was basically local at the time. Our TV stations didn't reach out too far, and it was very local, and he played records and had some dance. It was like a hop going on there. I messed up my memory's not really that good on that. And it came on every Saturday morning, I believe it was, before noon. We didn't appear on that but once or twice. And he came up with the song, "Oh Julia," and we recorded that. And I was going to MTSU to college. I'd graduated. And they called me, and they wanted us to go on the road and promote the record. Okay, so here we went. They got a guy to take us to Baltimore, Maryland, and meet some disc jockeys there. And we went around to all the radio stations and went over to Washington, D.C., and went to some disc jockey radio stations there and, of course, took the records and played them.
So now this was the first time that you had really gone on the road to do any promotion for the record then?
Oh, yes, yes. We were so very green, and I'm trying to think, this guy, his name was Chester. He was in another group that had played some there in sessions for Excello and NASCO Records, and he had a 57 Chevrolet two-door hardtop, and we went up there in that, and he had been there before and knew the way, so I'm telling you, you talk about green, we were green.
Tell me a little bit about the session, if you remember. You went in and recorded Oh, Julie. That must have been quite a different experience for you.
Yes. You had in your mind, you kind of foresaw how you thought it was going to be. And here at the time in Nashville, everything like that was so off the cuff and relaxed, and there was no music to be read, and it was all just say, you know, let's do this and let's do that. And then they got the idea to bring on Oh, Julie, to bring Janet Green in to do the background. And things were crude back then. I remember that they had a small room built that was plastered into a dome and had a mic hanging in the middle and a speaker. And this speaker put the sound in, and this other mic would pick it up, and they were trying to do was get an echo effect. And it was really crude, and it was upstairs down on Broadway at the recording studio there. So, yeah, it was just, the early times that things were just beginning to happen around Nashville in the recording business. There was a lot of country music going on here.
Now, Jenny Green, thinking about her, the song and the group, you know, Crescendos and Oh, Julie, was a great song, but there was that hook that she brought in with that high voice that really, really added to the whole production value of that record.
Oh, true. I think what it did, it gave it a thing that if you were not really listening to the radio, but you heard that from a distance or something, it was pleasant, and it kind of gets your attention, and it was just a combination there that really went so well.
And I notice on the writing credits on Oh, Julie, it's crediting Noel Ball and I believe it's Ken Moffitt. Tell me a little bit more about your interactions with the two of those, or at least Noel Ball, I would expect that you would had a lot of dealings with.
Yes, of course, he was the disc jockey that we were on his show there after we won the talent contest. And then he became our manager. And he and Kenny Moffitt had the song, and they shared the writing of the song. And Kenny, he was older than we were, and he came to the recording sessions. I don't know if we did more than one day on that recording or not. It's been so long ago now. And he put in a little suggestion of how he kind of thought the song, you know, would go. And matter of fact, he had the tune and everything, you know, and he taught it to us more or less. And Noel was a cigar-smoking hustler around Nashville, and he was promoting. He had another group or two, and he was, like I say, going to RCA and trying to get these things run off a tape through the reverb machine out there and doing his radio shows and his TV shows. And we ended up that X Cose was our road manager. He's our booking agent, that's what he was. And he was the husband of country music and gospel singer Martha Carson. And he got us booked on some shows, and we worked with Patti Page and several big-name people and at the time, and have a lot of experiences from that.
So what did it feel like then to be in Nashville and having just what was a huge hit? I mean, this is a record that it made the Billboard charts, it made the R&B charts, it made every local chart that there probably was known to man. You guys were at the top of the game.
We were, and we didn't know it, really. We did get through the record company, and Mr. Ernie Young owned the record company, and we would see Billboard magazines there, and of course they would point out, you know, hey, you moved up to here and you're doing good here. And we couldn't believe it. Like I say, we, you know, they were numbers to us. You got to realize we were 17, 18 year old boys from the sticks, really, because of communications across the country. We didn't know what was going on. We did know about American Bandstand, and we listened to records. I couldn't believe, you know, that once we got going and that the people I got to meet that I admired so much, and there I was standing with them and maybe going on stage after them, and It was awesome.
And that would probably lead us to one of the package shows that you were on. I think that was called The Greatest Show of Stars.
Yes, and looking back on it, that was a wonderful show. My goodness. My memories going back. It started out, it had Paul Anka and Sam Cooke, Clyde McFadder, Jimmy Reed and Jackie Wilson, the Silhouettes, the Monotones. Oh, it just, I could go on. You know, it was loaded. The Everly Brothers, Frankie Avalon, Fabian. It was loaded.
Wow.
I mean, just loaded. And we traveled on the bus with those, you know, several of those people, and some of them didn't travel on the bus, but most of them did. And it was exciting.
So you're traveling, you're promoting your record out to all the venues that Show of Stars went to, and mingling with the stars, and like you said, going on and going off after some of the people that you admired. What was the follow-up that you did to Oh Julie, and how did that work out?
Well, we did A Rainy Sunday, and that was a real good song, I thought. And we did that, and they came back and said that they're not going to promote it anymore because they had gotten word that it sounded so much like Ramona that they were wanting royalties off of it, and they agreed, I guess, and decided not to promote it. So it didn't go too awful far, but I thought it was such a good song.
Now that one, I've seen sales figures of around 80 or 85,000 copies, which actually pales in comparison to the nearly a million copies that you had with Oh Julie.
Yeah, well, like I say, they just backed off of it when they got word that the people that owned the rights to Ramona wanted their cut out of it, you know. So they just quit. That's why it did falter. The 800-something thousand, we, at that time, they were bootlegging records heavily. The song Oh Julie would have gone well over a million had it not been bootlegging.
Everybody needing their piece of the pie, legal or not.
Somebody else's.
You also had a song called Schoolgirl back with Crazy Hop, which was a pretty decent two-sider.
Yeah, my tenor voice. Yeah, I can remember some of those things were kind of a strain on me to reach some of the notes on some of those things. And yeah, they had a little catchy bit to them. But I think had they not pulled off of the Rainy Sunday song, that possibly our popularity would have stayed up. You know, they were catchy little songs, but they just didn't have the hit potential.
Now, you backed up Janis Green. She did one solo song for NASCO Records, and I believe you guys backed her up, didn't you?
Yeah, and sorry to say that that's been so long ago. I don't really and truly remember a whole lot about it. It seemed like it was pretty good, you know, and to us, it seemed like we were all pleased with it at the time, but that's just, again, you don't know. It's just like Oh Julie, had they not stuck her voice in there, it might have been just another song.
Mm-hmm.
But the combination of that, I think they tried to emulate that sound in her song too, and maybe that was just a little too much. You never know.
Do you remember backing up any other groups or single artists for that matter in the studio?
Yeah, we did. There were some country artists, and it was some that if they couldn't get the Jordanaires, that RCA would give us a buzz. And I just can't recall what records we were on, because that what they did, that you just went in there and did the background vocal like they wanted, and they paid you your scale, and that was it, you know. I don't recall being on anything that was big.
Did you ever find yourself with much contact with the other NASCO label recording artists like the Tabs or the Martells or, well, heck, even Warren Storm, who made the charts just barely with a song?
No. We really and truly, we just, this all happened so fast, and unless you happened to run into them there, if you went into Cello, they had a big mail order business, and Ernie's Record Shop on WLAC at night, and they shipped records all over the world, and that's where the business was in the studio. We went in there, and unless we just happened to run into somebody, you know, they might have been there, and we were coming in, and they were leaving or something, and just say just a quick hello, and they say, this is so-and-so, and that'd be it.
Now, the Crescendos appeared on Bandstand, is that correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you have any recollection of what date it was or any of the other artists that were actually on the show with you then?
Seemed like it was about this time of year when we were on Bandstand. And Jimmy Rogers was there that day. I'm thinking we were there before we started the Greatest Show of Stars. We're back in Philadelphia there when we were on at the Latin Casino with Patti Page. And that's the only two times I remember being in Philadelphia.
Mm.
Chancellor Records was there in Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm.
That's who had Frankie Avalon and Fabian. And I met some of the people there with Chancellor Records. And they, matter of fact, asked me if I'd be interested in going out on my own, you know. And,
mm-hmm.
But I didn't. I was in love at the time, and I was really had my mind on a little house and a white picket fence. That's where my direction was going.
Which I suppose leads us to the demise of the Crescendos. What happened, besides the fact that the third record didn't sell real well? Were you dropped from the label? Did you break up? Or how did that all work?
No, we were so, so fortunate that things turned out the way they did. We were lucky that we got together and had the sound that we had. We were lucky to have gotten tied up with Noel Ball. We were lucky that they got Janis Green in on the record, and people took care of us pretty well and guided us pretty good. And we were so, so fortunate. And it turned out real well. That experience paid for some college educations. And I'm telling you what, they were just some great guys. The quality people. And one of them's a doctor now, Kenneth Brigham. He's a doctor at Vanderbilt. He might have retired from Vanderbilt now, but Vanderbilt University. And he might not ever made it to that point had he not been in the group, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Tommy Fortner, he went on to build houses. Great contractor. Quality work. And George Linus worked with a local bottling company until he passed away. And his cousin, Jim Linus, he worked for the IRS.
Mm-hmm.
And he's retired now. And I think that Jimmy's, Linus, he's leading singing wherever he's going to church. I'm sure he's leading singing because he has ever since he was a teenager. And Tommy is preaching now, matter of fact.
Mm, how about you?
Jim is retired from Ford Motor Company.
Mm.
I'm thoroughly enjoying it. I like to fish. My mother lives with me, and she's very elderly and not in good health. We're just doing all we can do to keep her out of a nursing home right now.
Mm.
And I have a couple of grandchildren that have come on in the last 3 years. So I got my attention to that.
Mm-hmm.
The little lady I was in love with and the picket fence and the little house, we divorced after several years. And I found a wonderful woman that will put up with me. And we've been married for 17 years. And I'm looking forward to the next 17 with her.
Very good. Let me ask you a few record collector type questions to see if I can get a few answers that I've been curious about. And you recorded the 345s for NASCO. That was
on 78 too, the old Julie.
Was there any of those other two ever come out on 78 that you know of?
No, I don't think they did. They were getting away from the 78
mm-hmm.
at the time, and the 45s were just becoming so much popular.
Right. There was an album that was actually released that was, I believe, in the mid to late 60s that was the Crescendos, but they included a bunch of songs that I didn't recognize, at least by the Crescendos that recorded on NASCO featuring yourself. I didn't know if you had a copy of that album and knew whether, you know, where they got those songs from or whether you had any information on that or not.
Well, no, I don't have any information on that. After I dropped out of the group in July 58, they went on to do another song or two.
So the other group with then four members went on to do a few more records. Do you know anything about those records?
No. Sure don't. Well, see, the word crescendo, that's a musical term. So it's to grow, to get bigger, you know, to expand. And so it would be a name for a group to take, you know.
Well, obviously, it seems you got the name first. Who came up with that name in your group?
Oh, my goodness. I wish I knew. Probably one of those other guys, the intelligent ones.
Okay, well, I just thought I'd ask.
Kenneth Rigam was the only one of the bunch that played an instrument. He played a guitar. If I were a betting guy, I'd bet on him.
Okay, I'll go with it. Well, is there anything else that you'd like to tell the audience? Anything we may have missed or any of your experiences that you wanted to elaborate on?
Oh, well, it was so much fun for us and such an experience. My favorite memory is when we were on that tour and on a bus traveling during the night, and I'm sitting in between Jackie Wilson and Sam Cooke, and we're singing gospel songs, and Sam Cooke singing "It's Summertime and the Living is Easy."
Oh boy!
Oh man, I'm telling you, that was just, you know, and Laverne Baker, she was chiming in, and that was a great experience.
Priceless memories.
Really? Yeah. Oh yeah. And it was things that happened. I guess we kind of took them for granted because we just felt like. We were that green. We would just felt like, well, that's the way it's supposed to be, you know. And when you're successful and we didn't get the big head or think we were special, we realized we were lucky. There wasn't a whole lot of musical talent in the whole bunch, really. Yeah, and people would label us a kind of a flash in the pan type thing. But it was just a great time in our lives, and we were just so young at the time. And been nice to look back on it, and I have two sons, and they think it's kind of cool, you know, that Dad was a singer.
Hmm.
I think a lot of people that knew us made more of it than we actually did.
I've been talking with Jimmy Hall, original member of the Crescendos that had a huge hit with "Oh Julie." Jimmy, thank you very much for joining us tonight during my show, and I really appreciate your time.
You're very, very welcome, and for the people that are there that were our fans and people that came to see us when we did our live shows. And I want to thank you and the people that bought our records. Thank you. We had a ball, and we hope we did some entertaining along the way. And thank you for the interview.